Okay, let's bring this meeting to order April 17th, 2012, Newburyport Conservation Commission. This meeting is being recorded. And first item on the agenda are the minutes from, what was that date?
April 3rd.
From April 3rd. Any comments?
I have a couple comments. Under general business, citywide wetland ordinance, the last sentence of the last paragraph, says language included in the exemption section of the ordinance would indicate other exemptions adopted by the commission would be contained in the regulation. I think it should say language could be included in the exemption section of the ordinance that would indicate other exemptions may be adopted by the commission in the regulations. And I can just give you this note if you need it, but it's pretty simple. On the page 3 under 9, general business continues, the last sentence of that section, last sentence of the citywide wetland ordinance section, the commission will regulate only certified vernal pools, and vernal pools within existing lawns would be exempted. That should say the commission will regulate only vernal pools that can meet certification criteria.
Yep. And in the previous sentence, in the previous paragraph, an exemption for these activities, shouldn't we say could be added to the ordinance? We didn't.
Yeah.
We're not sure whether we decided on that.
Yeah, right. We just didn't say could be.
It's kind of the sense of the meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be added to the ordinance, right. Because we're still reviewing that tonight.
Anything else? Motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next item is the citywide wetland ordinance update and discussion. So Andy sent out his update. Everybody get a chance to look at it?
Yeah.
Yep.
I found it more confusing.
I thought a lot of it was helpful, and there were some things that I was concerned with, and want to go through it and talk about those.
Yeah, especially when it came to the home animals, because it was a lot of it seemed like he was just trying to wedge into general things overall when they were really specific to Plum Island.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was kind of
so maybe that should go in those section 3 in the Plum Island performance standards area, if it's specific to Plum Island. Rather than
right. Yeah. Well, in this one, I think it was section 6.5-3.5. He mentions a few of the things that were, like vernal pools and 25-foot mill cut. I think there should be a section in there, Plum Island specific type things. So, they're not necessarily embedded in all of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. So, you mean you found it confusing because it's the definition section for the entire ordinance, but
it was kind of like embedding what can be done and not be done within a definition. And, it should have been like, I would think, the definition for barrier beach. And then
so you feel like that was more of a regulation or a performance standard rather than a definition? Okay. I think Andy it's written as a definition because he borrowed it basically from Newbery's definition section. But if you think that it works better in like you were suggesting, Doug, in the actual Plum Island regulation section?
I would think so.
Yeah. I didn't see a section.
Overall, a little concerned about borrowing too much from the bylaw when it has to do with Plum Island, but it's another issue.
Right. I think the impetus for that was because so much more Plum Island is now in the AE and AO zone, that it will, there are so many questions about what this all means, that that being much more clear about our definitions of what can and can't be done in those areas will be really helpful.
Yeah. But again, I think,
yeah,
you know, someone reading through this, they might get the definitions, so I know what all those words mean and not even look at it.
Yeah.
And to just move it up to 6534.
Okay.
If you have an A, B, C.
But let's talk briefly about whether or not you all feel comfortable with using that definition, those definitions of development and redevelopment.
I've got some concerns with it. Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them I thought were the non-development was in a couple places overly broad. You know, saying what isn't development.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I've got some earlier issues with the thing starting on page 3.
Okay, should we start from the beginning?
Yeah. On page, I don't think anybody's got anything.
On page 2, were you all okay with the last paragraph of the first section, purpose and authority, about the applicability?
I think so. Although my initial reaction was, what about a modification of a permit, and would that, should that, could that trigger applicability under?
Yeah, that was my.
And then I thought, well, if it were more than a minor modification, we'd probably want a new permit application anyway. So,
yeah. Right.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Why worry about it?
Yeah.
Yes. I ended up thinking it's okay.
Yeah, I think so, because it's. If it's a modification, you know, either, you know, and we determine it's not a minor modification, then I think we do have the right to.
Thank you. Particularly if it was something that we knew might trigger our ordinance,
yeah.
We'd probably say, you know, you got to file for a permit.
Right. Yeah.
So I guess I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Tim?
Okay.
Do you have any comments on? Do you have
the ordinance? Do you need a copy?
Please.
I didn't receive a packet. Oh.
Well, there wasn't one because... actually, no, I did send out the ANRAD.
Yeah, right.
Did you not get it?
I think so.
Really? I sent it to all of you guys.
I saw your email saying we were going to get it.
Yeah.
This,
I don't know how
this
you
came
it.
By an email.
Or I don't know how I missed getting it to you. I'm sorry.
I did get this, actually.
Okay. We should have gotten this application, the abbreviated notice of resource area delineation. So I'm sorry if it obviously didn't get to you. Here's a copy. Make sure. Oh, you've got a copy.
Yeah, we were just basically starting off. We had some other comments, but starting off on page 2 with the addition Andy made regarding the applicability.
Page 3H, which is this is a definition of what is a regulated act. All these things are regulated activities, and Andy's deleted the phrase "including but not limited to cutting or trimming trees and shrubs." And I'm not sure why that was eliminated, because that can be pretty extensive, or it can be pretty minor.
I don't know what the logic is for.
I think I talked with Andy about this, and I think that the logic is destruction or removal of plant life is like what you're thinking of. It could be pretty extensive, but cutting and trimming of trees and shrubs can be very, very minor. And do we really want to see an application from everybody who is trimming a shrub in 50 feet of the river or wetland and when we already have covered destruction or removal of plant life. Trimming a shrub or tree seems...
Well, there's a spectrum. That's just it. And I had the same issue with vista clearing later on. One person's vista is another person's clear cut.
Well, but this isn't, I mean, you know, we still have the Mass Wetlands Protection Act, so, and we still have all of those regulations. So what we're doing is adding on to that. So do we want anything, chopping down trees in a wetland, I mean, we just gave out an enforcement order for that. So that would all still be, prohibited.
I think the reason for adding that extra is to highlight the need for someone to take care before just going in and starting lopping. I mean, because it's such a common thing for people to do, as we saw down there on whatever it is.
Yeah. And giving us a call is not a big deal.
This doesn't require a call. This is a regulated activity. This requires a filing. And we've got now a 25-foot no-disturb zone and a 100-foot buffer zone that requires that we're treating like a resource area. That, I think that's why we need to think about how many applications we want to get for somebody within 100 feet of a wetland trimming a shrub.
In other places, the way we handle this is to say you can do it, but only with advance notice to at least the conservation agent. And maybe there's a mechanism there that would work.
Now that you point out, maybe in our exemption section, we probably have that covered. Well, we've got routine mowing and maintenance of lawns, gardens, and this. So, okay. Yeah.
And,
okay.
That's kind of the way I might feel comfortable.
I agree. I think that the reason for having it there to begin with was just to highlight it, to a little heads up that maybe they better check.
Okay, so
could eliminate the part about trimming. I don't know. I mean, you were talking about vista. I mean, because
trimming is one thing, cutting clearing is another.
Yeah. So it's true. I mean, we don't want to have people coming in and calling because they're trimming a shrub.
Yeah, and having them pay $200 for an RDA.
I think a phone call to the administrator or the agent will clear it up.
That's what I'm talking about. It's just something. Call in and check, and if it's a
And if we have it there under the exemptions,
and then they could fall under the exemption, and then okay. I getcha. I think that'll be probably fine. I'll talk to Andy about it, and that's H.
Here for the Conservation Commission?
I think so. There's a meeting tonight, 7 o'clock, I understand.
Yep.
Take a seat.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we're leaving that in. Okay.
The next one I have is on page 5. And it's A1 under exemptions. The tree pruning phrase, same general issue. There's a spectrum. And we struggle with this in Maine a lot with the shoreland zoning, where, all I was doing was pruning the trees a little bit.
Next thing you know, the tree's down.
Yeah. I mean, routine mowing of grass is one thing, maintaining lawns and gardens, but tree pruning can get pretty extensive.
Okay, we could not call that out specifically.
Right.
Get rid of that.
Yeah, I mean, someone could have some white pines on their property along the river and just think they're just pruning and they're destroying eagle habitat. I mean, that was one of the things we had with an applicant right down there on Spofford Street. They were great, coming before us, but that's something that could come up.
Okay.
And step one is pruning. Step two is removing a dead or dying tree.
Because it's been so over-pruned. Right. Okay, good.
In that same section, 4, I didn't know what the last part meant.
Yeah.
The flush or below ground. What's flush or below ground? The garden or the fence? I look at this and I was questioning it. I think it means that the fence itself is below ground.
Yeah. It's like a raised bed kind of situation.
Well, no, it's to keep critters out, woodchucks and whatever.
Okay.
Well, what would a flush fence be then? Flush with what?
The ground.
Flush with the ground, or one that's trenched in.
If it were flush, how would that keep anything out? Flush it with the ground. What does that mean?
Like this, as opposed to embedded in the ground. So here's the fence just sitting at grade.
Okay.
And then below ground, it would be sort of like in a trench coming up, so that there'd really be no movement underneath.
Okay. So
can the fence stick above ground?
Flush means it's not pounded in. There's no stakes that pound in the ground.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, I think.
Well, no.
Here's your fence post.
Yeah.
And maybe the fencing starts, like on Plum Island, 2 feet above the ground.
Okay.
So now you've got a fence and you're trying to keep wildlife out. The fence itself is right flush with the ground.
Okay.
Or they've dug it into the ground to keep something like a woodchuck or something.
Okay.
Out.
All right. Okay. Okay. Right. I guess.
I'm not quite sure why specifically.
Yeah, it's...
This is... Everything in here is straight out of the Concord bylaw. And the reason why we did it is because it matched so well with sort of what we were trying to do. But we didn't weed out pieces of it. So it was for you guys to look at and decide if you liked these exemptions.
Well, okay.
And how Concord has them.
Is there another kind of a fence that isn't flush or below ground? This seems to be the universe of fences. So why have it at all? Why
not say fence for protecting? Yeah, it's
you're right. Right.
Yeah, I would just delete that last phrase.
Fencing around existing vegetable gardens. Period. Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's confusing for people to try and figure that out.
Mm-hmm. The question is, that apply to one on Plum Island?
There should be no existing ones like that.
Yeah. The next one I have is the next page. The first paragraph, there's a phrase in the middle that says, there is no regard.
Yeah, it's regrading. I said.
Oh, okay.
Is that the typo?
Should have figured that out.
There are a couple other typos in here that I haven't fixed yet.
More substantively, under 6, conversions of lawns to decks, sheds, patios, and pools. I'm not crazy about that as an exemption. I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about maintaining lawns and gardens, and that's fine. I don't think any of us have a problem with that, but I'm not sure about building structures, especially out on Plum Island. Well, this also includes the 25-foot no disturb area.
Right. Yeah.
Also, okay.
Do we want people building sheds?
So, it has to be 50 feet away. So right now, if they're in the buffer zone, they can do that, especially if it's on an existing lawn. So now we would still be letting them do that as long as it's 50 feet away from the wetland. So we're creating...
Well, from the...
Or from the high
water. But how about a vernal pool? Is that it?
No, because that's a 200.
That's 200 there. Okay. So this doesn't apply, this exemption doesn't apply to the vernal pool?
No, except that there is a separate exemption for vernal pools because the vernal pool habitat is not including existing lawns, driveways, things like that.
So why do we want to have people putting structures in these areas?
I think because if there's an existing single family home with an existing lawn that's already not serving as habitat because it's someone's existing landscaped backyard, that we really want to tell people they can't put a deck off their house if it's over something that's already a lawn and it's 50 feet.
I don't have a problem with a permit application for a deck.
Right.
A blanket exemption. I'm so crazy. I don't see why we should do that.
I mean, we wouldn't do it now.
Or
we wouldn't do it under the Wetlands Protection Act.
Yeah, right. It was in the buffer zone. Right. Okay.
I mean,
that's a good point.
It does seem like it opens a can of worms,
Right, it's, you're right. It's not allowed under the Wetlands Protection Act, so why would we exempt it under the, right?
And again, it could be one of those things where, you know, if you exempt it, it's a lot harder to control or restrict it mm-hmm. after you've already exempted it. If it's not exempted, then, you know, someone can come in and say, I'm putting a 4x4 landing off of my doorway, you could say.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a no-brainer, just go for it.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Rather at least have someone take a look at it.
So do you want to take it out?
I would think so.
And pools, I mean, that's gonna, that requires excavation. And
I think that the point again is with this is that because it's, because our ordinance is so much more heavily regulating the buffer zone, we're treating the buffer zone as a resource area rather than as the buffer zone, that this is trying to soften it a little bit, what will and won't be allowed. So I'm not sure we want to, I just think we want to think about, let's think about that, how, you know.
But if we exempt it, then we eliminate,
right.
Our, we
exempt it if it's further than 50 feet away, right? Right, but it would still fall in the buffer zone under the Wetlands Protection Act, so we would still probably get an RDA for it, maybe, but we wouldn't require notice of intent for it.
I think the place to exempt it, something like this, we need to think about, is in the regulations rather than the ordinance, because we'll never get another shot at it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna pull it out and say regulations, question mark.
Yeah, the regulations, maybe we could put in something that if it's such and such, it could just be an RDA, or it could
right.
be something that you
right.
just informally checked with the commission.
Okay.
Yeah. And you could modify the second sentence then to say something like the conversion of structures or other impervious surfaces
okay.
to lawns and gardens is okay.
Okay.
So that would be what would remain of the exemption.
Okay.
But I don't think we have a problem with going the reverse way, do we?
No.
Okay, so we'll leave in the last sentence with structures instead of such uses, and then, okay, take out the top part and talk about it when we get to regulations.
Okay. My vista pruning one was 9, because there's no definition of vista pruning, and it can be anything from maintaining your existing view to clear-cutting a whole bunch of trees that you'd like to get rid of and have a vista.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need some, I don't think a blanket exemption or something undefined is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what is, in the Wetlands Protection Act, is that an exemption?
Vista pruning actually is allowed, and riverfront but areas at least, I think it's allowed.
Yeah, but is it allowed or is it exempted from a filing?
Be exempt. I'll have to check.
Yeah.
I'll have to check. I think, but it is, you're right, it is out of, this is out of the Wetlands Protection Act as well.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the, is it defined in there? I mean,
I
the, to describe,
defined.
Talk about it
yeah.
without definition.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with preserving an existing vista.
Right.
If that's what somebody wants to do. Or even improving it somewhat, but again, it's a matter of degree, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the sort of thing where we would allow it, but there's got to be at least advance notice of the scope of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, perhaps in here, in the ordinance, we could just be silent on it, because if it is in the in the Wetlands Protection Act,
mm-hmm.
and just fall back to that,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And then because we're, it isn't something new or more strict that we're trying to add here, except that in the
no, all this stuff, all this stuff goes the other way in terms of strictness,
right?
The
yeah,
exemptions,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And
okay.
yeah.
We'll take it out, and yeah. if there's ever some situations that arise where we think, oh, this is crazy, we need to put something and we can put it in the regulation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or we can handle it with some kind of a limited exemption that's available with advance notice or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have at least
yeah.
An opportunity to see what,
yeah.
okay.
what's being proposed.
Okay.
more until towards the end, I guess, which is what we were talking about before. I guess page 19 is minus. Under substantial improvement, there are two exceptions to substantial improvement. And the first one, A, I'm not sure what it means.
A, any project, okay. The term does not include, because if they're being required to make changes to build, to bring a building up to code, then we're not going to require.
But would that involve anything other than interior changes? In other words, if the building footprint is going to be expanded, I wouldn't think that would probably be a code compliance full issue.
Well, what if they're...
I was just having trouble thinking of what code compliance things would require, things that would otherwise require permitting from us.
Well, like, say... on Plum Island, if a foundation was crumbling, are they going to be able to fix that foundation completely without, you know, we wouldn't normally allow something like that.
We don't allow repair of an existing foundation without enlargement of it? Maybe not. Right. Maybe
if it's... yeah, I believe that
they can repair an existing foundation. They just can't do a certain amount of repair to the structure without putting it up on pilings, unless the foundation has been considered sound. Or if it's over 50%,
right,
then they have to put it up on pilings,
right,
regardless of whether.
Right.
Right. Well, say it's over 50%.
Well, so then if it's over 50%, then I say this is not.
Does that? Yeah. Does that?
Improvement.
I mean, if we could think of things that were code compliance would require people to do something that they couldn't get permitted from us, fine. But I just was having trouble coming up with anything.
Right. If somebody had a house that was falling down, bought a house on Plum Island that was falling down, and they got the building inspector to say that it required all this work to bring it up to code, and that's 50%, and that goes to the 50% rule, which would make it a substantial improvement, then suddenly they're exempt because the building inspector told them they had to do it. When normally that would...
So the way to get around the 50% rule is to go get the building inspector to tell you
it's
code for problems.
Health and safety and code, right.
Mm-hmm. So
that's, I guess, what I'm thinking is what would happen.
That's what we want to do.
It's one of those that's kind of opening up a can of worms that we don't need to open up.
No, I need to talk to Andy about this.
Since I have trouble, identifying the problem, I hesitate to, go with a blanket exemption, which I don't understand.
That was one of the ones that was kind of hard to...
I have the same problem with B.
Yeah.
And the problem there is that...
We don't have the definition for it.
Under the Secretary of Interior's guidelines, you can add to a historic structure without diminishing the historic quality of it, and that's just the sort of thing.
That sounds like a Concord thing, because they've got their historic district and everything all set down there, so that must be specific to
their... I don't know if this came from Concord. I think this came from Newbury, because this is related to the Plum Island stuff, actually.
Yeah.
These definitions. So
yeah, well, they wanted to exempt as much as possible.
Yeah, right, that may be right.
Yeah.
So I'll just talk to Andy about both of these. Do you think we...
Well, the problem I have is structural additions to historic structures do not typically obviate the historic nature of it, because it's something that could be removed and go back to what you had before,
Yeah.
You add a porch, let's say, a modern porch to a historic building.
Put anything on to a historic...
Alteration
of a historic structure. I wonder if that...
Adding a porch, adding another story.
I'll just say, does this include addition, expansion?
I just wonder whether the whole thing needs to be in.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to have a question mark on that, too.
I don't see what it's adding.
And it seems like it would just raise a lot more questions than it would.
I think the intent under the earlier ordinance of the bringing up the code part was that to alleviate a problem of the 50% rule, that if it weren't for bringing up the code, they could do the work as a 25% of the value.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the code work, it pushed it above 50. We didn't want to then kick them into...
Right. And I think that's a point well taken.
Yeah, and so I think it's... And here it's just kind of taken out of context. It doesn't need to be an exemption.
And the place where it should be would be in the where the 50% rule is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what it relates to.
Right.
I.e. Section 3 or whatever.
But that would be changing the Plum Island section, correct? And
this isn't like the old Plum Island section.
Yeah. No, but I know, but we've told City Council that
we're not altering
that.
Right, but this doesn't come from there.
No, it doesn't. We're adding it into this, but we're implying that it refers to our Plum Island ordinance, which in some ways is altering.
Right, and we need to make a distinction. We may need to make some sort of distinction between Plum Island and the mainland.
Yeah, that's what I think in that earlier.
Well, you know, if we put this in the regs, this kind of a safety valve, we'd come out in the same place, you know, and we wouldn't be altering the Plum Island ordinance. I mean, that's
I don't like either of these exemptions. I don't think they make any sense at all.
I had trouble figuring them out. I really did.
I moved to strike both of them.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to add that thing about the code requirements in the definition section. We define the 50% rule.
Well, we have a motion on the table.
I'd like to suggest, though, that we Andy's on vacation this week, and this, Jeff, was what he put in specifically, and I haven't even talked with him that much about his reasons.
Right.
So it just might be good to hear from him at, like, maybe our next meeting, all his rationales for all this.
I was hoping he was going to be here tonight. I expected he was.
Motion withdrawn.
And then we can just know.
I wasn't sure whether this was going to go somewhere quickly or not. That's why.
I think there's so many changes.
It was. I think we thought that it might, and now it's stalled again.
And these are good size.
They were maybe going to address it tonight, but they're not.
Yeah, Katie didn't make me think like she was going to be.
No, back on page 18.
Yep.
We're at 7:05 right now, so I wouldn't mind like to move on. Oh. Actually, I don't know why those folks are really going to ask them why they're here, but
maybe.
Okay. All right.
Motion to recess for public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bye, Gretchen.
Bye.
So that just when the first gun is starting to fly.
We're moving on to the
okay, first item is 23 Low Street Timberline Enterprises and NRAD.
Good evening. For the record, I'm Patrick Seacamp of Seacamp Environmental Consulting. And several of the commission members were able to make, we had a site walk earlier tonight. And this is the overland, currently the overland marine site. It's a boat storage yard. It's, if you know the Elks Lodge, it's the entrance roadway is directly adjacent to the Elks Lodge. There are two wetland boundaries. This is an ANRAD to verify both the wetland delineation and the call on the resource areas at the site. There's an A wetland line that starts sort of at the back of the fill slope at the Elks Lodge, runs down the west property boundary, and ends sort of at the top end of a small swale in the back of the site. Then there's another small little culvert at this location. The beeline then traverses almost the entire eastern portion of the site, and this beeline would sort of bend back around, and the flow is kind of in this direction. This is the, this would be the rail trail, the new rail trail area for reference. We have several interesting concrete drainage structures throughout this site. I'm not sure of the history of the drainage, but we looked at them tonight. Of note, they're open on the two ends, the two on the outer sides are actually open to the BBW boundary. So in my opinion, you know, you could walk, literally walk out of the BBW, the same grade, all the way into this concrete basin. So the delineation, in essence, takes in these two outer basins, the bottom portion of that. It's a natural substrate bottom. The inner chamber is entirely concrete. It's got several pipes in, several pipes out. We kind of looked at it. It's without knowing the exact hydraulics of that system, it almost looks like those are equalization culverts, or we sort of surmise that we think the flow through those is likely in this direction. That being the case, because this is a pipe system through, then in essence the concrete face of that basin becomes bank. So, you know, there's no way to flag it. I wasn't going to jump down in there to hang flags or put chalk marks, but if you think of it, the bank is the mean low water to the mean high water, and so the face of the concrete technically would become bank. The only function that would serve would be similar to bank within a pipe. It's just conveyance of the flow of the, whether it's perennial or intermittent, conveyance of the stream through the pipe. It gets handled. If you were to disturb it, do anything with it, the function you need to maintain is just the ability of the pipe to maintain the flow and contain the stormwater and flood control. There is a, this is another concrete basin, if you will, on the site. It had water in it. We sort of felt that was likely static groundwater that we were seeing out there. This does not have an inlet other than the street, the paved surface drainage, the catch basins bring water to this. This does have a pipe out. I'm looking at that as a constructed stormwater detention basin. Predominantly the site, you can see, is when you're out there, is an old fill site. It's an elevated site with a coarse gravel substrate. The existing roadway is paved. There are some catch basins to service the current stormwater runoff off that paved surface. Also draw your attention to this structure. This is a stormwater detention area on the site, at the front of the site. It's got concrete head walls, if you will, or walls on two sides. It is entirely vegetated with predominantly Phragmites at this point. It does have wetland species. We sort of all agreed that at some point that it's probably due for a maintenance clean-out, because it's there's some issues with its functionality at this point. I did not call it a resource area. I believe it's clearly been constructed as a stormwater conveyance, but it has come back with Phragmites predominantly in there. And so I've called the resource areas. It's bordering vegetated wetland. We could accept that there's some function of bank within these chambers for the conveyance. It was still, again, I'm not sure that isn't just a static sort of an equalization function that they would serve, but if you have unidirectional flow in either direction, you have bank. And of note, there are several ditches on this property along the west side that are within the bordering vegetated wetland that I've delineated. So my flag line is upslope of those adjacent ditches.
I guess my only... So are we including
those two outer concrete things in this?
Yes.
So this map should kind of show that a little clearer, shouldn't it?
What? Yeah, the plotting, if you will, of the flag line shows the B, let's see, the A, three A4 flags down at the entranceway.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, those should be all the way up at the top at the face of the head wall.
These two should be up here.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can either, I guess I could get that revised on a plan. I think it's important to show that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the field, obviously, I didn't hang any flags, so something got...
When they surveyed it, they didn't mark it that way?
So yeah, that's correct. Okay. When I explained it to them, they didn't quite understand what I was trying to explain.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So
yes, in my opinion, the BBW, I'll trace it. Comes down, goes in, comes over, and goes back out.
Mm-hmm.
Does not... The substrate here is not what I'm considering BBW. It would mm-hmm. just be bank. And then on this side, in like fashion, comes down, goes over, and goes back out.
Yeah, I'm fine with it as amended.
Yeah. So what we could do is I'll get T. Mineta to put together an amended ANRAD plan for the files.
And we're not including this part up here. In the upper right.
Yeah. Side. This.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, as I said, was a stormwater detention area. In that corner.
Yeah, there's a catch basin that goes right into that.
Yeah. And it's not connected to anything else.
No, isn't there a pipe coming out down to here?
Yes, there is an 11-inch pipe that then drains that, and it does connect down into the BBW boundary in here. The only inlet would be there are two catch basins up on the entrance roadway in this area, and that's the stormwater flow that gets into that area. There's no connection to other resource areas up there.
Well, I think you said there'll likely be a third if the new catch basin is installed.
Yes.
To serve the parking area.
One of the future, they realize at this corner they need to get area off this parking area. So the idea would be we would be adding one pipe and a catch basin to handle that. And I did have a chance to meet with the neighbors just briefly.
We'll not to be rude. I'm Kathy Harding, my husband Dan. Yeah. And Dan and his parents own the property that's right next to their 19 and 21 Low Street next to the boatyard. And we're just here for educational purposes to understand if something's going on because it's like right behind them. Right. So,
first of all, I'd like to ask, what was the request for this? Is there a move afoot to make some changes in that property? Because I don't know nothing.
Yeah, are you at liberty to say?
Well, at this point, all we can even discuss is that what they're doing is they're delineating the wetland.
Right.
Okay.
But we can tell you the applicant is Timberline Enterprises.
I understand that.
Yes.
Right.
Applying to buy the property?
Well, that's their thing, whether they buy it or how they do that.
Yeah, so usually happens before some sort of a development, they'll come in, delineate the wetlands.
I understand that. And I understand, gentlemen, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name.
It's Patrick.
Patrick?
Yeah.
Growing up in that area for a better part of 50 years, pretty well dictated what you said right there. And where those concrete catch basins are, for those of you that are not familiar with the Newburyport area, there used to be a ditch that went from the railroad banking all the way to what used to be called Pasture Road, and that was called Graft Road. That passed that all the way through. All that land was sloped into those ditches. So you just get a flavor for what that was like. It lead in. Mm-hmm. And all that water that was on those properties filtered into that land. Hence my house, my parents' house, and my grandmother's house. And all that water filtered back. Over the years, based on the building that is taking place and some of that. There has been an insurgence of water that has backed up in those areas. You talked about wetlands from the boundary of that property right there to the railroad banking. It was not wet at one time. It has become wet only because the ditch that used to run all the way through was not maintained. Okay? So obviously the water's coming through. If you go on to our property, go directly to the railroad banking, you'll find that there's a granite culvert that goes all the way through to Route 1 on the other side, which pulls all the water coming off of Route 1 under the railroad tracks and into those fields. And has been that way for a good number of years.
So that was there when Route 1 was...
That was there before that was there before Route 1. If you look at it, it was when they built the railroad. The old railroad hill on Route 1, before it was there, that water used to flow off of the hill of the cemetery down through and back through that land. And that filtered. That's why I said that land was all farmed. And again, it was all sloped. So it really isn't wetlands. It's wetlands only because of the maintaining of those so-called ditches and everything that have not been maintained over the years.
Were there other ditches that ran in an east-west direction?
Yes, there were. Yes, there were.
So this was just the biggest of them.
This was no stories out of school. Some of that was all backfilled. Several tons of rock and gravel that are in there right now. But a lot of that was leveled off and changed that slope, that direction. That catch basin that you talked about on that driveway down off the right here, right where your finger is, yes, sir. My parents' property is right there, that lower corner. When it rains, can be a leak. That catch
and their basement.
That catch basin does not work.
Oh, yeah, we've got to figure that out.
But I tell you, it doesn't work, and we're getting a little water back.
You can see it's the water's pouring over the bank around the catch basin into the...
That's correct.
And his parents get like a foot of water in their basement, and they're 93 and 84 years old, so... You know, that's our issue, but just as an FYI.
Yeah.
Oh, this whole area, we've spent a lot of time.
I'm just giving you some background
information.
Well,
no, I appreciate it.
And I don't know how many of you are from Newburyport or growing up in this area, so I'm giving you some background history before, and that was all either farmland or cowland, quite honestly.
It seems like some drainage improvements can be made on the site, that especially with that catch basin, I mean, that detention basin and those two catch basins, but... It also seems like in order to really solve some of the problems you're talking about, off-site, that ditch and that drainage needs
to be opened up.
And to that be maintained again.
You, this committee, allows that or not, that's another story. But I don't know if that drainage, those concrete basins, I don't know if there's any flow that takes it back out towards what now is called Graff Road or not. I don't know if that...
They're open.
There's ditches and stuff that get it out there.
Now,
but
just so you'll know, when that comes down in that L shape, we owned all the property along the railroad tracks all the way down to what now you know was Keeblin and Willard. There was drainage basins or routes along the Keeblin and Willard property that would butt that line going straight out to Graff Road, right where your finger is.
Right in here.
Go straight back out to Graff Road.
Yeah.
There were ditches on that side. Go over to the edge of Keeblin Willard's property. On the far side, there were ditches over there that also flowed out. Back off what used to be the old Illinois land, now Butts International. It used to be the old International building. I don't know who's there these days. But that, just so you get a flavor a little bit for what that land and how it did flow in some of the wetlands that were there.
So from here...
Yes.
Up towards the railroad.
Yes, sir.
This was all open until it became a culvert under the railroad?
No, there was a culvert always there under the railroad.
Right.
Right where your finger is right now. There's a right there. That's a railroad banking. There's this granite opening, basically. I don't know
so
how far.
How
it's
about,
granite all the way.
So how about from here to there?
It was just a ditch. Yeah, okay. It was just a ditch. My grandfather maintained it for a good number of years, and it became overgrown, and that's basically how it...
You can't see much of it now. If you look up that way, if you look from here up towards it, you can't really see much.
No, you can't. But if you walk through it, you could see where there were essence of a ditching. And I mean, at any point, it is deep. You walk back there, you'll go up to waist deep in some spots. Be careful about when you go back through that area. There are spots out there. Now, the land may have absorbed it and moved it back at that time. But there were spots in that ditch that were deep. That went out. So I'll just give you some background.
Well, it's helpful to know.
To where that is. I mean, there was, again, on the other side of Route 1, and there's granite culverts. You can look on the other side of Route 1, there's the same granite culvert sort of on the back. And again, that's all flow that comes right off of Route 1 today. It fills in that back area, so, I don't know, 30 feet, maybe 20 feet between the bank and the Route 1 back there that's open.
I think that's useful because it sheds a little light on the intent of this when I designed it like that. I just, it's unusual for me to see, when you're going to go through, I don't know what the intent or the design of that was originally, because I look at things pretty simply and I go, well, why didn't they just put 4 36-inch pipes and bury them? So there was some reason why they would have kept those open in that fashion, but they're just a little unusual drainage structures.
There was a very lengthy discussion when they presented this to one of the boards back about 25 years ago.
Yeah, I figured there was.
Do you remember why they did that?
Specifics.
No, I don't. I wish I could. I wish I could tell you what there was a reason, though. The second basin, the one that you pointed to,
this
one right there, yes, sir.
Yeah.
There, that was, as you explained, it was the catch basin to catch the runoff water that was part of that whole boatyard flow.
Yeah.
So that would not flow, in the words, quote words, into the natural flow.
Which is probably why they left it open. They wanted it daylighted because they considered it a natural flow.
Yeah, and that's, and if they had to clean it out, they could get in there and clean those out.
Now, the other area was, and I think there was an agreement on that other wetland area that you said is overgrown today and all that. There was some agreement right there to have that area left. And I can't remember. You'd have to look at the notes of that meeting. I can't speak to that. But I'll give you just some background history. But, I mean, that land right now, again, before any of this, again, I can, as a kid, remember it was sloped in many, many ways to flow to the center of that property.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Been a lot of development since then, too.
There has been a lot of development since then.
There's fewer and fewer places for the water to go now, as the industrial park is finding out in big rainstorms.
Well, it's just so, everything is so interrelated. You do something, a few hundred feet away or a few thousand feet away, and it affects it all. It's all connected together.
No fault of anyone's, but when Low Street was, before it was populated in the way it was, there was two very deep ditches on both sides of Low Street that were probably 4 feet deep. Probably 4 feet wide that went all along. And before you found closed land again, you were at the armory. So you were going from Route 1 all the way down, and it was all wide open. So to give you an idea, that's how much water that they were catching. And when it rained, they filled.
Yeah. I've done a lot of soils work out in the park, the industrial park. It's all heavy silt loam. It's a marine sediment out there. So that in itself, any precipitation that gets on there is going to sit and not infiltrate at all. So when we do get a lot of rain, that water table just pops.
Which is why even in this dry time, there's water in those basins.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a high water table.
If you sound
clays
going through that property out there, I can't directly remember. I was not very old. But they tell me that some of the older people that were there tell me that there's a river that runs under all that land. It goes all the way back out towards Hale Street. And it flows. And it also flows back up into the city here someplace and breaks out. And if you're fortunate enough to get to some of the old places that haven't seen that, and you can get to a snowstorm that's cold, and you only get that 1 inch of snow, there'll be enough warm air coming up that you can actually see the mapping to where it hasn't been covered over. Going out to the land. If you flew over and you look at it, you probably could map it out pretty good. And they said that they used to be able to put a low point, tap it down no more than 8 feet, and the driest of lands, and they could pop bubbling water out at any time during the year. And that's how they kept the cows full of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I live on Hale Street, and the vernal pool that I certified in the Cooper North Pasture area, I went out there. It was on the order of 7 degrees, and in the middle of the winter, and there was open water out there. So there's stuff full. That's why it actually got to be Water Department land first, and we're handling it. But that's unrelated to this, kind of.
Like, they give you some background. So I don't know what anybody's planning over here, or Timberland's planning, or whatever. And one-on-one, I'll tell this committee, they haven't informed any of the abutters yet. Because some of the other abutters appointed spoke to me and my parents earlier and said, we don't know what this is all about. So
well,
that is the reason why I'm here tonight. Or we are here tonight, excuse me.
Would the abutters get a letter if something... as things progress?
If this goes to the next stage, which would be a notice of intent, which actually was submitted today, got it, that's an application for a permit for the next use.
Okay.
And so all the abutters will be notified
okay.
of that notice of intent, and the hearing on that would be May 1st. I can
May
1st. Right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that they would get a letter?
Yep.
Okay, good.
With that process, you will see what's being proposed on.
Yes.
Okay.
It's just it's unable to discuss it tonight.
Oh yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
I know you're not at liberty to speak of that.
Yeah.
So that's
fine. Yeah.
All right. So you can put May 1st on your calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I won't be here, but you'll be here.
Sorry for the history lesson.
We spent a fair bit of time speculating on what those concrete structures were and why they were there.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's an engineer, so
you
I'm like,
some light
who
on.
Would care about all
and
that?
And you have a good memory, too.
Yeah. Another engineer would care about it.
Thank you. But okay, thank you very much. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Thank you.
May
1st. Thank you. Need a motion? I think we need a motion. Are we gonna do the order afterwards or do it now?
What do you mean?
Oh, well, okay, we just closed it here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we would need to.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. We'll either.
We could do.
I'll just take care of it.
Is there anything on Crow Lane?
Small update, not much, but I can read you an email from Chip Nyland. Okay.
Just a point of order. I'm going to submit a revised plan that shows that, but we would be submitting... I'm going to submit a revised ANRAD plan for the record that shows
that's
the correct...
That's what we need, right. And will it also be shown on the notice of intent?
Yeah, I think it will be. Although I haven't perused those plans.
If not, we can just amend that filing with the same plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for the time tonight, by the way, for the sidewalk.
Thanks. Good evening, Mayor Holliday.
Good evening. How did that go?
Those are the abutters, Kathy and Dan Harding, whose parents have lived there, and he has like a 25-plus 30-year history of the area, and was just giving us a little history lesson on the drainage, and it was really interesting, and it just sort of supported what Patrick Seacamp had described out there. So
I think it's just going to be a great business. Carolyn Kirk, the mayor of Gloucester, which is where their home base is, and I know that they're a wonderful, wonderful company. 20% of their proceeds they give back into the community. They build dugouts for Little League. They just really get engaged and committed. And when you look at this plot, what else could you do with it? You know, and the fact that we're going to be able to generate the kind of revenue in property taxes and in personal property, and to have a really good business in town that fits a niche that has been, you know, vacated because of, you know, Georgetown closing and Eastern going down and Atkinson gone, and, you know, it's so expensive for them to spend, you know, the diesel fuel to come all the way down here on a run to service communities in the greater Newburyport area. And, you know, he just said, I have to be up and operational, you know, with at least those two wrap buildings open by, you know, mid-July.
What is their business?
Wholesale wood. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you knew that.
It's in the paper. It's a lumber company.
It's a lumber company.
Wholesale, but wholesale.
It's all wholesale.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, you know, basically the trucks will come in, they'll load up, and cut out.
It'll be all open storage.
It'll be three. The rack buildings will be three-sided, loaded with the lumber, and then they'll come through. And at some point, they're going to keep that. There's one building there they're going to keep and use at this point, but they anticipate someone else near the edge of the property that is.
That main building in the front they'll use as their offices, and it may eventually even become their headquarters. They may move up their headquarters up here. But there'll be a small retail operation strictly for contractors, that kind of hardware.
Because if you should wander in and need some wood, they'll never turn you away.
Right.
Yeah.
But
they don't do that, but they're certainly not gonna, be advertising that, that your local homeowner come by.
It's not Home Depot.
That's one of the things we need, like a Whole Foods. We need a
wood.
We need a lumber business.
Yeah.
I don't know where the boats are going to go, but they're selling. I mean, boat storage is getting a bit of a challenge lately.
A lot of what I've heard from other boat storage people, a lot of those folks aren't paying for that storage. Those boats are sitting there and they're not collecting revenue on them anymore.
So
they can't really.
Did they abandon property, the boats?
Well, it's not that easy to auction them off or do things with them, If they buy the property,
it might be a big boat auction.
Yeah.
Who wants a boat?
Can't afford the gas. But.
Okay, so good. So things are going. Tech review went well, and
Tech review went great. Yeah, we had an internal interdepartmental meeting called tech review the other day, where they came in and talked to us about the NRAD a little bit, but also mainly just talked to other departments, fire and police, about the operation and how it's going to run on the site. And that meeting went really well. They do seem like a good company, easy to work with.
What type of vehicles are coming in? Is it mostly is it pickup trucks or is
large?
No,
they're large.
They're bringing stuff in on trailers.
18-wheelers.
Yeah.
So the neighbors are probably going to be a little concerned about that.
Well, the concern these folks seem to be having was a stormwater concern.
Fortunately, their last run is 3:30 in the afternoon.
As part of the NOI process, they'll need to address the stormwater issues. And one end of the site, the low speed end of the site, really isn't functioning very well to handle the runoff.
They're going to have to make it better than what it was.
They're going to have to improve it.
Which actually, the way it is now, isn't all that hard to do.
No, it's not. It's not. This is not rocket science. And it's not going to be expensive.
Right. But they, again said that in order for them to hit the market, they've got to be up and operational in July. And so I just agree, they're going to do one site review with the planning board. So things are, I'm just pleased that, we can demonstrate as a community that we can come together when, the site works, the company works, we can expedite permitting.
Diane got their public notice in for this.
Great.
We squeezed that in so that they could be on tonight's agenda, and they already have their notice of intent filed for May 1st.
Great.
So they're on, even if, I don't know how many, what's going to come out of their notice of intent, but they're going to have plenty of time, at least for our process.
Great.
As long as it's not a CVS.
There was that other one, was it on Graft Road, that was appealed by DEP.
Yeah.
And have we found out why? It's because we don't want the same kind of thing to happen
here. I know. Well, I think they're different projects.
It's a different thing.
Very different thing.
Okay.
And we have not yet found out any of the details about that. I know that, honestly, I was telling Steve about it. It's like the air intentionally keeping us in the dark.
Yeah.
They haven't responded to phone calls and emails, and they sent a letter 3 days before the site visit, which I didn't even receive in time to get to the site visit, and then I immediately called them and said, could you not have called me, emailed me, and they still have not responded.
What
and I gave them a talking to by email, three different people. This is DEP appealed one of the commission's permits from back in December. It was a permit for Strem Chemical on Malkin Way.
Well, I know Strem Chemical very well. So,
and it was a stormwater from reading the file, and you guys might remember it was a stormwater maintenance.
It was a very minor
maintenance swale kind of an operation, just to clean out an existing swale, expand another stormwater swale, and they DEP.
It's a confluence between what is
stormwater structures and what is wetlands. That's their...
The funny thing is that DEP has made very strong statements lately about how they are
just
encouraging us to do the opposite.
Right.
And then for them to appeal this just seemed very strange to me. So I hadn't gotten any response from Rachel Freed, who signed the appeal, from Pam Merrill, who was our circuit rider, who promised me that Rachel would call me, and from this other guy now who's on the appeal who held the site visit, and I can't remember his name right now.
Was it Eric Wilson?
Rogozin? Sean Rogozin?
No.
So have they decided whether they're going to drop the appeal or not? Or we don't know.
So I'm hoping that I'll be able to speak with someone this week because they had the site visit on Thursday last week.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to have a message from them when I got into work today, and there was nothing. So anyway, that's been a little frustrating, just not having the information. I apologize that I'm
it's just more of a concern that this, you know, we don't. For something like this, that has a tight time frame.
Yeah.
I mean, if DEP supersedes it.
Well, I'll have a conversation with them about it. I will.
You talk to me, you know, so if you're running into problems, because I'll go above their heads.
Okay.
But this site doesn't have the issues that the Graff Road site had in terms of... Which had to be regraded, and it had to be a new driveway. This is all really built, in terms of the site... work. It's really all built.
Very straightforward.
Yeah.
It's an easy
to navigate. It just makes me nervous though, when they do something like that and won't tell us why.
I would not.
Well, especially since the city spent, matched that FEMA grant, and we spent a fortune out there with Malcolm Perney, and we got nowhere. Nowhere.
I'm very curious. I will let you know as soon as I find out about the appeal and.
I'll call Mike also. I mean,
Want you to worry about this project. It's very different.
But I think that point that they could just step up and be difficult.
Well, that other thing's going to come into play when and if the industrial park decides to start maintaining their swales.
They are. They're working on their notice of intent to do one. They've come together as a unified group. It's sort of like made two, if you will. But Ralph was away. Castagna, who is the one who with Ray Nippes from Bixby is they have 35 companies now signed up, if not more, to work as a united front to begin addressing the issues down in the park.
Yeah, I sat down with Ralph and Andy and Bill DC.
Oh, good.
To talk about it already. And I guess he's going to set up another meeting.
Yeah.
Ray Nippes wasn't there.
Okay. I guess they were on vacation, so, opposite each other. But their goal was to submit by the end of April or beginning of May their notice of intent. So they were moving pretty quickly on this.
I'm going to give you a little update on the Clean Tech Center. Remember I told you about that grant? They were applying for an EPA, Technical Assistance and Planning Grant. It's a brand new grant. It's a green infrastructure grant. And there are 15 of them that are going to be awarded around the country, apparently, $50,000 to $100,000 worth of technical assistance. And what they want, and it's really for water quality, stormwater, that kind of drainage, that kind of thing. So the Clean Tech Center put in an application with the help of Ellie Stewart over at Horsley Witten. And they think we have a pretty good chance. They spoke with some folks at EPA who said this is exactly the kind of project we want to see. And how they presented it was industrial park, drainage problems. We gave them some information about the drainage studies that were done. And they've got a tenant in their clean tech center that builds green roofing material. And so they sort of are hoping to do a study. What it would be a three-part project. The first part would be a drainage analysis, which the city's already done. They would borrow from that and utilize our information that we already have. The second part would be a analysis of the possibilities for creating better drainage and stormwater management. So they would look at different techniques, including green roofs. And see sort of like even for green roofs, how would the Conservation Commission evaluate and measure the stormwater control capacity of a green roof and give us that kind of data to be able to use in the future should someone decide they want to do that. And then the third step would be public meetings I'm sorry, there would be another step, which would be regulatory review and working with the city through planning board, zoning, and conservation commission to look at the strategies for allowing some of the kinds of stormwater management techniques like green roofs to take place out there, or being able to support it and encourage it. So they would be trying to kind of like look at our overlay district and possible zoning changes and that kind of thing. So it's a really cool project. And I think that if we get the grant, if they get the grant, that we need to have a sort of a meeting with like John Eric from the engineering and planning board and CONCOM to get together and talk about all of our sort of goals and strategies for it.
That's great.
Yeah, it would be very good. And then after that, next grant would be like implementation.
One of the things that would be most helpful is good quality cost analysis, because that's always every time it comes up. Steve,
that was my main point with them too. Is I said you can do all this and you can go through this whole study and tell us how great green roofs will be and how great some of these other BMPs will be. We already know that. What we have the problem with is getting people to implement it because of the cost, like you're saying. And
it's
so
like our affordable housing in Newburyport.
Right. That's going to be
that
incorporated.
Affordable.
Exactly. That's going to be incorporated into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they all just say, you know.
We'd love to, but we can't.
We can't.
Well,
you're going to put us out of business.
Misunderstanding on what they needed to do for Greenwood, because I think one of those buildings we were talking about, they thought they had to have 3 feet of dirt on the roof in order to support.
Right.
Yeah. And the objection was that they couldn't possibly build, you know, it would require them to entirely reconstruct the building to accommodate the
snow load and dirt load and
everything.
Water. Yeah.
So it could be a very interesting project. So we'll see. I'll keep you guys up to date.
And you heard that we got the Mass Home Solarization Grant?
No.
And this is to, again, help residences put solar panels PV on their homes.
Really? I know.
So.
Sign me up. Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's so great.
Yeah. We got the
did Molly apply for that?
I begged and borrowed the energy of everything at me. Like, we can't. No, we can do this. I know you have 10 days to write this, but you can do it. And they limit it to green communities. So this is what narrows the field. So, it increases the possibility and,
That's why we became a green community.
Right, you pick up the phone and say,
I went to do it when David Hall was pushing them. Yeah,
we had a couple of meetings. It was expensive.
Even with all of the grants and tax credits, it was a 35-year payback.
Right. It's like, no. Well, hopefully they'll have some new information here about how to make this happen. So.
Good.
I can give you an update from what I know about the landfill.
Okay.
I'm recusing myself.
Okay.
Okay, you're recused.
He stays in
place. What do you know?
Of course you can stay. Well, the flare was down about 3 weeks ago or so, and started to get a couple pops from, abutters regarding the hydrogen sulfide smells. In fact, the flare was down. They were doing some routine maintenance. Had a conversation with my favorite landfill owner, and he assured me that everything was going to be fine. It was up and running. And then all of a sudden, there was an increase in complaints again over this last weekend in particular. I think there must have been about a half a dozen complaints, and it's unfortunate, but. In one sense, it was fortunate because there was a new woman who I hadn't seen her name on the list before of complaints, and sometimes that helps the process move forward a little more quickly. Dick Chopin has retired, those of you he has been, at our side through this whole process, and Susan Roosh, who is an attorney for DEP, is now overseeing the final closure piece. They were out there with SciTech, New Ventures, and DEP, probably 2 to 3 weeks ago, and I texted Susan today and said, why wasn't the city invited, for this meeting? We've come this far, and And so I've asked for a meeting to be set up as soon as possible. And what turned out was the flare went down again, and it's back up. But there's a problem with well E7. And the cement around the well is corroded. And so consequently, that was contributing to, I guess, the leakage of hydrogen sulfide from this well.
That shouldn't have happened.
I mean, but this was John Carrigan's report that I got today.
Yeah.
You know, with a very stern message to Mr. Tebow in terms of what has to happen. So I haven't been able to connect directly with Susan Lush today, but I will. And I said I need a meeting ASAP because we need to finish up these pieces. I know Chip was here.
Yeah.
Did they comply with everything that you asked
them
to do?
They're working on it. I have an update from him today. They gave us a plan for, there are certain things that they didn't want to do. There are certain things that they have been doing to prevent, to stop the erosion and to sort of stabilize it. And then there are other things that they're waiting to do, like get rid of the silt from off-site in the wells, and they're going to do that by hand. And Mary Rimmer has been working on a plan. And they gave us sort of part of that plan at the last meeting, and now he has this email saying, Mary walked the landfill perimeter after the commission's last meeting and observed areas containing sediment or other materials. We are in the process of recommending the equipment to be used, how the areas will be assessed, and material removed, and what restoration will take place. I anticipate that I will be able to provide you with that information within a week. Mary is also recommending new siltation fencing installed, downgrading of the existing siltation fence at locations where breaches were noted. Finally, SciTech will be preparing a new topographic plan that will include regrading the upslope areas to mitigate impact and to further stabilize the area. Please assure the Commission that following the last meeting, New Ventures took proactive steps to identify the erosion areas and will be submitting its addendum to the erosion plan shortly. Finally, I'm awaiting confirmation from the project engineer regarding baseline sampling, which is something we asked them to do. Sampling some water coming out of the pipe.
DEP did that.
They did.
So it will be interesting.
Okay.
Because I asked them a while back to do that.
Oh, good.
So this is probably going back.
Okay.
6 months, maybe?
Okay.
Oh,
good.
And so it will be interesting to compare.
Yeah.
And I know our health department has also done sampling there, too.
All right.
So it will be interesting to see what they come back with, and then we can sort of compare the other samplings that have been done.
I had a question from a resident or someone who's purchased a home in Olea Woods, which is like 1,000, his home in particular is 1,000 feet from the landfill, and he is curious about, has there ever been any sampling, soil sampling, groundwater sampling done in that direction from the landfill?
There's a ridge of land
in between
and the flow is the other way.
The flow is in the other direction.
There's no flow that way.
I didn't have the history to know what to tell him, so I told him
it's
to call.
It's not an issue. Nobody can, or you can call me. I've gotten numerous phone calls from people looking at property in Wildwood and other areas.
Do they get odors over there at Olea? Yeah.
Typically not.
I wouldn't think so.
The winds are coming towards the landfill.
Okay.
If you get a southeast wind or an east wind, you might get something.
Okay.
But I think at this point, other than these like little pops with things going wrong and the new header system, which is ready to be hooked up, and I just don't know why they haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Which is another question I have. That the odor should be really negligible, or even not an issue.
Right, great. It's good to be able to tell people that.
Yeah.
Have you entered into any discussions with the Ventures about cleaning up the mess on city land down there?
Which part of city land?
Well, Pearl Lane itself. I mean, there's still huge piles of rock and dirt and debris.
It's all part of the conversation. I mean, that was part of what he, because he cleared the area closest to Crow Lane for moving the compost site that's requested by, or actually ordered by the city council, but we had a bid protest, so we're not going to make the May 30th deadline, but we'll deal with that. But, and so there still needs to be material taken out of there. And part of it is that I don't know that our two engineers in Mali have ultimately decided what things they don't want yet, or working with the contractor because they have to put it out for bid again, in terms of what they might want to reuse as they, you know, build the new transfer compost site.
Yeah.
So, but no, that those are all things that have to be.
Okay, but even like on the Crow Lane, which has never been the unpaved portion of the Crow Lane, going down towards the Little River,
yeah.
It would be nice if we had a trail there at some point. Right now, with all the hay bale and silt fences, and even the little detention pond there is actually on city land.
Oh, I know. And in exchange for the $50,000 or so for clearing that property, which you told me it cost, we aren't going to make a big deal about that small detention.
Right. But right now, you couldn't get a trail through there with all the stuff.
Well, it will be. It will not be left like that. It'll be hit final.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a bit of a. I know it's better than it was, but there still is more that has to happen.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
That's great.
Now that I've unrecused myself, I have a question regarding Crow Lane.
Okay.
Down that dirt area. I think it's still considered a roadway. Can we, and I know one of the previous planning directors, Nick Cracknell, had talked about basically getting rid of it and giving it to people on either side and just eliminating the right of way. I think it would be a good thing to eliminate the right of way. Basically because it can't be used, there are vernal pools right in the middle of it. And basically attaching it to Cooper North Pasture or something like that, just to protect the area.
Right, well, you do know that, help me, what's the other farmer out there?
Flat
Rock Ledge.
Because
actually when that was going into foreclosure, Norbert actually drove me out there and was trying to convince me that, you know, you've landlocked my property, you can't do that, that's illegal, and you're going to, like, open up this road for me to develop. I said, I am. Unbelievable. But there's some kind of deal that man's working on. I don't know what he wants, but I don't want that property. The bank was going to give it to us if it came in under
$100,000. Is this the Rockledge property?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember he wanted us to buy it for some ungodly amount of money.
$600,000.
Yeah, and you can't get to it.
Yeah.
Us, the city, to buy it from $600,000. He had some
appraisal. He sort of thought we were almost like obligated to buy it from him.
But as far as accessing, there's still certified vernal pools in the middle of.
Okay, well, let's get landfill closed, and I'll get as much in that area, you know, in terms of mitigation, taken care of from New Ventures and ordered through DEP. And then at that point, it's probably a city council order for us to, you know, declare it surplus land or work with others or do something to make sure that that doesn't happen. So let's come back and revisit that.
It seems to me there was a reason for not doing that, though, because
at the time,
because then if the abutters, you know, if Crow Lane were eliminated, then the property lines would extend into the middle of Crow Lane, and they could then put in a road across the various pieces of property.
So, well, that may have been, but the abutters are now, part of the abutting is Cooper North Pasture,
right,
and permanent conservation land.
But we still got, there's Colby property there.
There's Colby in there.
And there's Rock Ledge.
Which has an exit on to the old road bed, too.
Right.
We're not going to build a road through this area.
Oh, no.
No.
So.
But I think that was a reason for not doing it when it was 5-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But there's been, but since then, there's other land that has come under conservation, and then open space has been purchased. So, you know, things, you know, there could be some changes there. But I think that's something that we should go back and revisit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
But just to go back to Maya, what does he think he's going to do with that property?
I don't know. I've heard all kinds of. I've heard a few little rumors that he wants to swap it for, you know, another piece of property over off of Hale Street, or I don't know what he thinks he's going to develop on Hale Street, but no, I'm not, I have no interest in that piece of property at all. And I'm sorry, you're a fool if you bought it. Mm-hmm. You are. You're a fool. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, well, it's useless property.
Do you guys want to get back to vote on the ANRAD?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to leave you with B then, but I just wanted to check in to see how updates on those things. So,
good, appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I heard you're staying with us.
I wasn't going
anywhere.
So happy. Good. Just one of those things that when someone asks you if
you're
going to run for senator, you know, when these seats open up like every decade or less, you know, or more, I should say, my goal was to ensure that there was someone stepping up who, you know, has the skills to, you know, this is a critical position. When I look at the help with the school projects, with, you know, our trip to D.C. with the $3.5 million for the jetties, you know, my job is to do the ask, but I need to have someone to ask and who's going to fight for us on the other end. And, you know, it was critical to me. And so I met with Bill Manzi, the mayor who's just had to step down because of term limits in one of the few cities that has term limits for mayor. In Methuen. Terrific, terrific. And he pulled papers this morning. So I'm very comfortable that our seat will be well taken care of. Now we just have to be sure we get him in and not one of these city councilors who's going to slide in. And we did have a city councilor from Newburyport pull papers today, but it's, you know, the numbers aren't here. It's Methuen in April. You know, you've got 30,000 and 80,000. In April, and you've got us, what, maybe in a good election, 5,000 people might show up.
Yeah.
We have a good plan. You know, even the three communities together, Seaport communities, that's why it's always a senator from that area of the valley, and that's why it's critical that you have someone who understands all the economic and, you know, the issues that are happening in this area of Grandmont Valley. So Thatcher's very comfortable, Jim Fiorentini's real comfortable, and so am I.
Hello, I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay, Bill.
I wonder if you know, there's a sheriff's canine's vehicle parked right next to your car. So, if you go out there...
I better get the drugs out of my trunk.
If you happen to go out there, he's pretty excitable. And I don't want him to...
Thank you, God. I appreciate
it. Don't scare the heck out of you when you go by. I had just thought of it. I thought, oh, God, I'm going to go tell her. So.
Would you congratulate our newest sergeant to the police force here? This week,
I'm honored. All right, I just want to let you
know. I appreciate you coming to find me.
Just ignore him and stay away from the windows. All right?
It's okay. It's okay. Anyway, so that's most of the news I have.
That's good news.
They support the schools and this community center.
Uh-huh.
It's really important. Really important. We're never going to get a deal like this again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what's the motion for move the issue? ORAD.
ORAD.
ORAD. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So be it.
All right, folks. I'm not forgetting anymore. These two agenda items, I don't really have anything worthwhile for tonight, so let's just go.
Okay. I forgot what. I didn't finish that.
Yeah.
Holly?
What is that, planning and zoning?
It's the continuation of the Story Ave saga.
Yeah. Well, we don't have much more to do on that. We can just run through the last couple pages of the ordinance.
Right.
Can I ask a quick question on Shandell? Has anything, because I missed the last meeting.
Yeah, the quick update on Shandell is that they have hired a consultant to put together a plan to, I don't know what they're proposing yet, but to do some type of restoration of that wetland area. I don't know if it's going to be trees or cleaning out some of the invasive vegetation or what they're going to do, but they're working on a plan. He said that they would be getting it to us. He wasn't going to have it in time for this meeting. So I'll
did
get
they
back.
Fess up to?
I don't think they ever were going to fess up to. He said, I get it, I did something wrong. He's like educated himself a lot since this all happened, and he gets it now. And actually, he's been pretty interested in talking about what he can and can't do and how and when and all that kind of thing. So I think that's positive.
Now that his vista's been
now that he has
enhanced.
A clear view of the river.
But he's still holding out the possibility of building a house on that other piece of property with a foundation.
He is. He wants to be able to fill that in at some point. And well, he wants to fill that foundation in now. But he wants to make sure that at some point, because it's still a separate lot, it's not incorporated into his lot,
right.
that would be potentially a buildable lot that he could market to somebody else. I don't think he really plans on doing that anytime soon.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he wouldn't fill in the foundation. But I think he just doesn't want to, shoot himself in the foot.
Right. Yeah.
So he's talking with the planning office about that because that
doesn't want to lose any grandfathering he might have.
Exactly, and he's actually outside of 25-foot no disturb zone with that foundation. So I explained to him what our new regulations would entail, just so he would be aware. So that's it. Hopefully, we'll get something from him soon on the restoration.
Did we identify whose property that cutting was it on his
it's
property?
It's on his property.
Okay.
Yep, he owns,
everything, his house and all the way down to the road. Right?
All the way to the road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shall we finish up?
Ordinance?
Yeah. I think we're on page 19.
Yes. Yeah, and I just had a question on 18.
Yep.
Under redevelopment, and under redevelopment, it includes coastal engineering structures.
Mm-hmm.
And I
don't think, funny too.
Because if you classify something as redevelopment, it's kind of, oh, yeah, you can do it.
Right,
and
but that's a bigger
question
mark.
Yeah, because that's like seawalls and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't, even repairing a seawall should
have a file.
What page were you on in?
18. At the very bottom, under the definition of redevelopment.
What page up?
So you're saying, this starts out by saying an individual or cumulative increase above a certain amount and is redevelopment, and below a certain amount is not, right? Is that the way this works?
No, I think what one redevelopment shall include an individual or cumulative increase in the footprint, including a coastal engineering structure,
right.
A sheer wall.
Provided that it's a 20% increase.
Right, but I don't think to a coastal engineering structure of anything would be redevelopment.
Right, I think
you don't think it should be considered redevelopment?
No.
I think he's saying it's not include. I think it's strangely worded, but it's only considered redevelopment if it increases by 20% over the existing footprint of whatever that is.
Yeah.
So you can repair seawall, but you can't add 20% more seawall on.
Well, it depends where on the island you are. If it's in the high hazard zone, you're not supposed to
even
think of it.
So how should seawalls be treated? Should a permit be required regardless of what's being done? Or
yeah, I think so.
Okay. So then this...
And again, it's not saying that redevelopment doesn't require a permit, but...
That we would allow it.
And Yeah, it's just, at least under the old ordinance, redevelopment was treated quite differently than new development.
So in order to fix this, should we break out coastal engineering structure and say that's not part of this paragraph?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
the sheer wall or vertical wall as well.
Structure is.
Excuse me?
Probably right.
Do we define what a coastal engineering structure is?
Probably not.
Yeah. Is it jetties, groins?
Yeah, those are.
Yeah, we should think about where that belongs.
But if we're going to say coastal engineering structures need to be permitted regardless of what's happening, then we say we just accept it from this paragraph, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out the mechanics of what we
want. Yeah.
Take it out.
Okay. Now, back in the previous page under development, we also mentioned coastal engineering structures. Is that
Where is that?
Under development on page 17.
Yeah. Right, which
I don't
I
don't even understand what does the term redevelopment mean? Because above it doesn't make any
It's going straight to, this is another case of where we're talking about the Plum Island Ordinance. We're referring to things in the Plum Island Ordinance without really referring to them.
Yeah.
So it's confusing.
Yeah.
Does this come out of the Newbury one? Is that
straight
where the stuff
out of it
comes, you know?
Yeah, and
Newbury,
he put it all in.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he edited it before he put it in.
Well, I was wondering that, too, because I didn't understand the reference to the Plum Island Overlay District.
Yeah.
I think, you know,
is that part of, is that a Newburyport concept or a Newbury concept?
Both.
I think with all of this that we're going through right now, these definitions, all of them were put in either specifically to clear up sort of FEMA questions or to borrow from Newbury in areas where, in addition to address these new FEMA maps. And we really need Andy to explain to us what he was thinking, because I didn't have enough time to meet with him and talk about it before he sent this to you guys.
Should we just table this
until...
Want
to table it?
My concern with this is when you go a little farther and you say, okay, here are things that development and redevelopment doesn't mean. A lot of it seems to apply to Plum Island only. And other stuff seems overly broad to me in various ways.
Yeah. And you do have to be careful, because development and redevelopment have specific meanings for riverfront area as well as Plum Island.
Right.
And they don't really jibe with each other.
Yeah.
They mean the same thing. So we need to be careful that we make it really clear what we're talking about.
And that's why I think, push this back into a special performance standard section.
I'm
really squirrely about doing anything with the Plum Island part of this, because we're going to open up a huge can of worms. People are going to start flailing and seeing an opportunity to change stuff in that. And I don't think we should touch it at all.
If it belongs in the regs, if it belongs anywhere.
Right. I would do that.
Okay.
I don't want to borrow from Newbury.
If you want to borrow their administrator, you don't want to borrow their ordinance.
Get them off the island.
So shall we just stop then?
I think everything there on to the end is really that kind of an issue.
I had some issues. Well, you don't have to deal with it tonight. I had some small issues with the vernal pool habitat on page 19, but we can stop wherever you want.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about that, because I was involved more in that. So tell me what you think.
Well,
can I ask a question while before? I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but getting back to what we're just talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't even understand when it talks about development, new development, redevelopment, footprint. What are they referring to?
Plum Island. It's all about Plum Island.
Well, I had the same issue, Dan.
Yeah.
Is this like another way of granting an exemption for something?
I know. Yeah, it was.
Is that the upshot here?
I think by providing these definitions, which we don't have in the Plum Island Ordinance, we don't have such specific definitions for these terms, that it is, in a way, closing the window of things that would, you know, be regulated. It's sort of shrinking.
Okay, so for example, on page 20, the construction of an unpaved elevated pedestrian walkway on pilings over the dune
yeah.
or whatever, that's
yeah.
not development. That means somebody can do it without a permit, right? Is that the...
No, I don't think it means that they can do it without a permit, but it
right.
may mean that they're allowed to do it at all, kind of thing, with a
right.
permit.
Yeah, because if
with
it's...
permit.
If the... It was that if you were in the high hazard zone, you could do no new development, building a new house or anything.
Yeah.
The redevelopment was really touchy in the high hazard zone. You could do some things, but not, you couldn't make it any bigger at all. And then, but then the open piling walkway was put in so that even in the V zone, you could apply to do that.
Yeah, these
okay,
are
so
things, these
it doesn't go
exemption.
So far as to create an exemption.
No.
It gets you over a lower threshold that you need to get over to even...
To get a permit.
To even apply for a permit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I get... And that's exactly right. And the reason why I think that prompted putting this kind of thing in here is because of the huge amount of new floodplain area that's
right.
now on Plum
yes.
Island. And it was just thought that, wow, we really need to think about how tightly we're going to be regulating now
yeah.
what amounts to like all of our...
Well, all the more reason, I guess, for wanting to put this stuff in the Plum Island section of the
yeah.
ordinance and not in the the general definition section.
Right.
We should put it in a Plum Island section of the regs, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Section where they talks about the vernal pool, the 25 no
yeah.
disturb. There should be, there's an A, B, C, D, E. There should be like an F that says barrier beach.
Right.
And then we could talk about it in there.
That's a good point.
Because that's...
As long as we create a new section of
yeah.
this citywide ordinance that's separate
right.
from Plum Island ordinance. We're not changing
yeah.
the Plum Island ordinance.
Right, yeah, we're just moving them
we're
to a new
location. We're redefining it under...
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to think about that.
Yeah.
Again, I think we need to really get in.
Yeah, that might be a big change, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, it might be much more similar to the current ordinance, if we do it that way. Because here we're trying to juggle things, you know, so it reads the same for anybody in Newburyport, whereas it's clearly, you know, any one of these points is addressing all
the more reason for wanting to handle the stuff in the regs and not, you know, populate the ordinance with
yeah
all of this stuff. It's just going to be hard to change because you know look at how long it's taken the council to deal with Story Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even started on ours.
Well, they
have.
Well,
the committee has, but that's
yeah,
three.
Right.
Yeah.
Three as opposed to 11.
I mean, we just don't want to be going back there to tweak this thing a lot.
Right, and which is why, and it's also to get it moving through the whole. Council to stay away from the Plum Island section.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
we
just thought that was a red flag, you know. That just opened up too many.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right, on the vernal pool thing, I just had two relatively minor ones.
Okay.
This is the bottom of page 19.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle, the reference to the NHESP program 2009. That's fine, but, you know, given the musical chairs of state departments and the fact we ought to at least say or successor guidelines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, they've had one foot on the banana peel for years.
Yeah,
that
I think that's smart. Because they could change the guidelines, they could change the...
Yeah, and we don't want to have to go back to the council to do something like
change
this.
Change the date or whatever.
Successor guidelines. Perfect.
Yeah.
If we have to put it in the ordinance, then let's at least be flexible. And then at the bottom, structures in existence are proposed under an approved plan. I didn't know what an approved plan meant in this context. Approved by whom?
Existence or proposed under an approved plan. I need to think about why that's like that.
Well, it's something we've approved.
Okay,
that's
right.
What it's supposed to be.
So, like, we issued an order of conditions for someone to do something, and then we pass this ordinance.
Okay, so
we can't take back.
So it's really under a permit, right?
Yeah.
However, we do it
under an approved permit.
Under
yeah, no. not a, yeah. Do we generally
yeah,
refer?
And I would say an approved permit by the Conservation Commission.
Right.
Yeah. We may have approved it, but
well,
somebody else may not.
I just
well,
wanted some
no,
clarity on
because,
what this meant.
Well, I don't know. I think that it could be. I think that it could be a planning board permit, too, or another permit, because we might not now have jurisdiction
right.
over someone's
right.
backyard.
Right, yeah, you're right.
And they
you're
may
right.
get some type of planning board permit
yeah.
or zoning or
relief.
How about
just saying a valid permit?
Yeah.
Valid permit.
We use that phrase
suppose
elsewhere.
Under a valid permit, okay.
And if it didn't require us, then it's valid.
Okay.
The planning
sure.
board.
Okay. But are you guys okay with the way we talk now about it doesn't have to be certified, but it has to meet certification criteria?
That's
yeah,
well,
I think that's great.
That's what
that's
you were
what
trying
I
to
want.
Say.
That's what
okay.
we sort of wanted, yeah.
Okay. Perfect. The rest of this we can wait. Go ahead, Andy. Okay.
Anything else, Mr. Chair?
You guys have anything else?
We have two other things there. The team and Salmon.
Yeah, I didn't have much of an update on either of these, so I decided we could maybe put them off. I haven't gotten an answer back from DEP yet on how we're going to start using the new FEMA maps. So, like, if somebody applies for a permit in June, we don't hold their hearing until July. What happens then? Or if we open the public hearing in June, but we continue it into July, what happens then? We need an answer, and I probably would like one in writing from them.
Yeah.
And as of yet, they haven't, because I've been getting questions about it. People are like getting like antsy about getting their permit applications in online. So anyway, that's the update on that, and I don't have an update on the salt marsh monitoring. I apologize. If we get to that last week.
Has there been any discussion about dumping sand out on Plum Island in preparation for the
good
beach season?
Good question. There is a beach management committee meeting next week. I believe it's the 26th. And I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be gone next week. But Andy will be there for that, and that's on the agenda. Just to sort of say, hey, are we going to do this? We're not going to do this.
When's their window of opportunity close?
It closed.
It closed. April 15th, it closed.
Oh, that's right.
So it would be to get some extra special permission in order to do it.
We'll do it by hand.
And they'd have to get that from DEP, who's not responding to anything.
Or just forgiveness after they've already just gone and done it.
I would hope they would know better.
That would be an
old
situation.
But, yeah, I know.
But we're used to that, being in that position anyways, aren't we?
I mean, especially with the weather we've had, you'd think that would have been like, hey, you know.
All right. People need to get down on the beach.
I did let their council
know. No, they may not do it. We may not do it this year. I'm just remembering a conversation I was having with Jordy Vining about it. We may not do it on certain of those areas. You can get down the sides. Do we have discussion with you guys?
Well, they also have, they got to walk one street over now and go down the ramp.
Right.
It's one street. So
yeah,
you can't
exactly.
rent your house if they have to walk another.
Well, there's also the possibility of putting some of those mats down where the sort of the entrance comes out like this and then it drops off, right? So that's too steep and that's where maybe we would put sand. But the slopes on the sides go down pretty nicely. And if you put mats down the sides, then, you know, why you don't need to go off. You have to put a fence up so people don't, like, go step off the front of the dune.
Well, the homeowners might not appreciate them walking over their bags, though.
Well, they know they wouldn't have to walk over the bags. That's the way I remember it. I think we could get access down the side slopes of those dunes.
No, they go out. Just
they
kind of
go out and then they drop off, but the sides.
The sides you can go. Okay.
Sides you can go, and it's in front of the bags
okay.
where they have the bags. So it's possible.
Motion.
I just wish a good northeast
to adjourn.
Come along and watch the whole thing. Get
that's
it
a motion.
It's not the old come out anymore.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed.